Good evening and welcome to our evening service here at Christ Church Edinburgh. It's a real pleasure to have you all with us this evening. There's a couple of notices, if you'll bear with me. Just to say that there's tea and coffee after the service, and our hostess this evening has got some lovely delicacies left over from soup lunch today, and so I trust that you'll all enjoy and enjoy the fellowship and tea and coffee after the service. Remember our minister David, he's up in Kilmally. He's preaching there up near Fort William. The folks there don't actually have a minister just now, and so we ask you to keep them in your prayers. Would you also remember Murdo Murkison's family as we learn of his sad death today? His son Duncan studies at the seminary, and he will be finishing in the next few weeks. And so his father is a great loss to the body of Christ, and to obviously to his family and loved ones. Please pray for them. Also, in your prayers, could you remember the McDonald family in Zambia? As you know, Christine is very unwell. We've received a third medical update, and these dear ones need our prayers. So please remember them in your time of prayer. As you know, our prayer meeting on Wednesday is as usual. Bible study, am I correct in saying, is on Tuesday for the ladies in the afternoon, and that's at 1:30 here in the building. Lunch club, as always, is on Thursday at 12:15. And just to say that next Sunday's service will again be at 6 in the evening and 11 in the morning. The Reverend Cameron Clousing will be sharing from God's Word in the morning, and Mal, who I'm delighted to announce, will be sharing the Lord's Word with us in the evening. I think that's all the announcements that I wanted to make this evening. As a call to worship, shall we read from God's Word? Reading from Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Reading from verse 24 through to 31. This is what the word of the Lord says. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous work in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of his people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Shall we stand together and worship God as we sing Psalm 100, All People That on Earth Do Dwell? Let's stand.
All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, hymns and with mirth his praise foretell. Come ye before him and rejoice,
To the Maker and Creator of the heavens and the earth, acknowledging that you are indeed Almighty, that everything is subject to your will and your command, that with the power of your word alone you spoke the world into being. The great Creator of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We thank you that you condescend to reveal to such as us your word, your will, your plan and your purposes for human beings, for your creation. Who are we, O God, that you consider us? O God, we are humbled that in your sight we are but a breath that is here in a moment and is then gone. And yet you sent your Son Jesus Christ to pay the sin debt that every single person in the whole world who has committed an offence against you owes you. And yet, Christ has paid it for every single person in the world who will put their trust, their hope, and their faith in Him alone. O God, we are grateful. We are grateful that you consider us, that you have never left us nor abandoned us. What a wonderful, awesome, loving God you are. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we give you thanks. Amen. Yes. Shall we sing to God's glory? Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do.
Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I think through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should know. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you. Father, we love you. see your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise, and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you, and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you, and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak the words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you, for I know that I am one with you.
Our reading this evening comes from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 through to 41. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 through to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Our elder Tim is going to come and pray for us now.
Thanks, Ray. Let's bow our heads and hearts as we pray to our God. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with thankful hearts for a lovely day, with thankful hearts for a day in which we can come and praise you and worship together in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for a day when for many of us we've been able to set aside our worries and cares of the week, a day when we've been able to set aside our working tasks, a day when we can focus truly on worshipping you. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the pattern that you gave us that said that there should be one day per week when we rest and really truly worship you. Father, we thank you for the pattern that you give us in our daily lives. We thank you as we think every morning of that sunrise, of when the sun rises and chases almost, as it were, the night away. When it breaks to sometimes, Lord, as we look at it, this glorious new day that you create for us. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the pattern at the end of a night that is a new day to worship, a new day to praise, a new day just to come before you. And for us, Father, who know you as Lord and Saviour, to think on all that you've done for us. Father, we know that we perhaps don't always give you that place in each day. We don't spend the time with you that we could or the time that we should. But Father, we thank you for the pattern that you set for us in that day, and you give us a new opportunity each day to renew that friendship, fellowship that we have with you. Father, we thank you the pattern for our life that you've given us. We thank you for the pattern of the whole world. We thank you that
you knew that man would go his own way, that man and woman would sin and would be far away from you. But Father, we thank you for the pattern that you had and the plan that you had to give us Jesus, that he would be able to die on that cross and be able to save us from our sins. And Father, we know that there's not a person in this room this evening that has no sin. And Father, many of them have been forgiven. There may be some that haven't, and we would bring them before you this evening, Father, and ask you to forgive us. Father, we thank you that there is no one in this room that doesn't need forgiveness. We thank you that there's no one in this room that can't receive forgiveness if they confess you and look to Jesus for their salvation. Father, we thank you for this. Father, there is just so much that we can thank you for. We thank you that you're an awesome God. We thank you for the impact that you make in our life. We thank you for bringing us to this place and giving us a base that we can reach out to those around us. Father, we pray for our neighbours. We pray for those men and women behind closed doors, for boys and girls. And Father, we pray for the opportunities to reach them. We know, Lord, that each of us were commanded to go into all the world and to preach the good news. And for some that comes easy and natural, and Father, we thank you for this. For others, we need to work hard at it. But Father, we pray that you'll give us the opportunities and that we'll be ready and willing to speak a word for you as you present these opportunities to us. Father, we thank you for David. We pray that you'll bless him, and we pray that he will have been blessed today and been able to bless that congregation. We pray that as he travels back, that you'll be with him and just give him a sense of your presence and keep him safe, Father. We thank you for what he means to us. We thank you for the way that he opens your word and gives us understanding and clarity. And Father, we thank you for this. We pray that we would listen to these words and act on them. We know that our role is not just to listen and say thank you. Our role is to listen and then take that message and use it. And Father, we pray that you would use each one of us in the work here. Father, there's many other things that we thank you for. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that when we open it, at times you illuminate it and just make things anew to us. Even passages that we've read many times before, we can learn something new. Father, we thank you that it's a living, breathing word that just encourages our hearts as we read it. Father, there's many other things that we want to bring before you this evening. We think of the soup lunch that we had at lunchtime. We thank you that we were able to meet and share fellowship over some food. We thank you that we were able to raise some funds, and Father, we'll find out how much that was shortly. But Father, we pray that as these funds go over to Malawi, that you would use them for the people there. Father, we know that there's many in need. We know that Pastor Lapson and Pastor Rogers do so much with what little they have. And sometimes when we hear of the stories and the work that Pastor Lapson in particular does, Father, we just wonder how he manages to fit it all into a day. But we pray, Lord, that you'll give him the strength that he needs, that you'll give the people there the resources they need. And any way that we can help, Father, we just pray that you'll help us to do this. We pray for the McDonald's, just a little bit away from them. Lord, you know their situation. You know where Christine is with her health just now, where Donald is in his concern for his wife and family and extended family. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless them, support them and strengthen them as Christine waits on results and further down the line, just whether she'll be accepted for a transplant in South Africa. Father, we just pray that you'll be with it. Let them know that we are remembering them in prayer. Let them know that you care for them and you have a plan for them too, Father, and that they'll just rely on you. Father, we thank you for each other. We pray that you'll bless this time together. We pray that you will strengthen Ray as he brings your word. We pray that we would have ears that would listen and hearts that would take on board everything that we need to do. Father, we pray that you'll encourage us as we meet together around your word, as we worship you. We just thank you for this time and for each other, Lord. Amen.
Will you join me in standing as we sing to God's glory? For this purpose, Christ was revealed. Let's stand together and worship God.
For this purpose, Christ was revealed. To destroy all the works of the evil one, Christ in us has overcome. So with gladness we sing and welcome him.
This evening from our reading we see there are three main points that I think the scripture wants to bring to our attention when Jesus calmed the storm. The first is Jesus' identity. The second is Jesus' power. And the third, and not least, is Jesus' compassion. And so whose idea was it to get into the boat that evening? I mean, there was no RNLI back then. If you get into trouble back in those days, you were on your own. You were out in 100 square miles of water, a body of water 7.5 miles wide by 13 miles long. And so, just imagine it's getting dark, the temperature's dropping, the cold air begins to tumble 10,000 feet down from the mountaintops on both sides of the Galilee. All the while it's whipping up the waves on the lake. Can you imagine being one of those fishermen? Can you imagine them saying to each other, really? Is this the best idea to be getting into this boat? You see, as experienced fishermen, they knew that getting into that boat that night, there could be trouble ahead in that dark journey that lay before them. And maybe tonight, you yourself are in trouble. Maybe you are on a dark journey. Well, if you are, God has some good news for you this evening. And that good news centres around the man Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. And so notice with me the first thing that our passage rises to our attention, and that is the question of Jesus' identity. Who is this man? Arguably one of the greatest questions mankind has been wrestling with for the last 2,000 years. Of course, some people are thinking, Jesus? Oh, he's just a figment of your imagination. He's a myth. Never existed. Well, of course, if that is your thinking, you will be surprised to hear that one of our most militant atheists in the form of Professor Richard Dawkins, was forced to admit in a public debate with Professor John Lennox in Oxford that Jesus Christ was a man in history. It is madness to suggest there was no historical figure in the form of Jesus Christ. If one of the world's most militant atheists is admitting that Jesus the person existed, then we have to ask ourselves, who is this man? And so we come back to the fishermen. In the boat, Jesus says, let's go across to the other side. Of course, why on earth would the fishermen, the experts, why would they be listening to Jesus, the joiner? I mean, who is he? Does it make any sense? What do joiners know about sailing? Think for a minute. Why would guys who knew this could be a very dodgy thing to set out in a lake like this, why would the fishermen who know better than the joiners, why would they listen to Jesus? Who is this man? Well, he was a man who had been mobbed that morning. He was so mobbed that in order to speak to the people, he had to actually get into a boat because people were desperately trying to get to him. They were mobbing him so much, he actually had to get into a boat. It makes me laugh when I look at the front row in our church congregations that are always empty. And yet here's the people. When Jesus was there in person, they could not do, you know, there's nothing they wouldn't do to get to be where he was. It often makes me chuckle. Who is this guy? Do you know, I reckon he must have been some joiner. Because in all the years of my joinery, I've never had crowds chasing after me. Leastways, not for my joinery skills. Possibly for my Ouija accent. Who is this guy? Why are the ordinary people from all over the place flocking to see the joiner from Nazareth? I mean, can anything good really come from Nazareth? Not only was he mobbed in the morning, he was mobbed in the evening, as we see from our text. We learn that he had been ministering to the people all day, and he must have been shattered. Crowds in the morning and now mobbed with crowds in the evening. Who is this guy? We read in verse 36, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with them. Who is he? He cannot even escape the people in boats without being chased by others in boats that followed him. In verse 37 we read that a great storm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Here they are in the midst of a storm fighting for their lives. Can you imagine the look, them looking at each other, thinking to themselves, these fishermen? You can just imagine them thinking to themselves, I knew this was a bad idea. Meanwhile, Jesus is shattered. He's crashed out in the back of the boat. The wind's blowing a hoolie, and the boat's becoming swamped. At this rate, they're going down with all hands. But this time, they're all desperate. The boat is filling with water quicker than they can bail it out. Shattered from a long day of being mobbed by people, no doubt hearing and seeing the other wee boats in the same soapy bubble that they now find themselves in. You know, Sir Winston Churchill said, there are no atheists in the lifeboat. They're now at their wit's end. The experts can do nothing. they're in fear for their lives. Never mind, who is this joiner? It's, where is this joiner? The second half of verse 38 gives us some important clues as to the question of Jesus' identity. Look with me to the second half of verse 38. It says, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus awoke and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Notice Jesus is not in the slightest bit startled. The fear of death has gripped all around him, but Jesus is calm, almost serene. No matter how scared or desperate we are in life, it's really no problem for Jesus to take it in hand and to restore order. There is no storm in this life that can throw, that this life can actually throw at us that is beyond Jesus' ability to control. Notice also that Jesus never gave them what for. Why? I mean, these guys, he just accused them of not caring whether they lived or died. You see, Jesus' love for his disciples, sinners though we are, it covers over a multitude of sins. That's what the love of Jesus Christ does. And so the second thing we see here, after the question of Jesus' identity, is the revelation of Jesus' power. You see, Jesus' power reveals his identity. I mean, what man can control the elements with the mere word of his command? The answer comes straight from the Department of No-Brainers. There is nobody on this earth, with the exception of God, who has such power. Jesus has demonstrated why the fishermen trust the joiner. And it's not because he's a joiner. That wouldn't make any sense. No, it's because he has shown his power. The power only God can wield. And here it is in the hands of this man, Jesus. As Mark, the author of this gospel, says in chapter 1, verse 1. This is his whole purpose. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who is he? The Son of God. Fully man. Everyone can see him, touch him, walk with him, talk with him, eat with him, hear him. Jesus is fully man like you. And like me. But clearly not just any human like you and like me. See, Jesus has revealed his divine power by commanding the wind and the waves to be still. And in so doing, he has revealed that he is God. Who else does the Bible tell us can do such miracles with the power of his word alone? Only God, who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And as it says in Genesis 1:1, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Who is this man? God himself. Come down to earth to save all those who, like the disciples in that boat, cry out to him for help. That brings us to our third and final point this evening. We have seen Jesus' identity revealed by his power. Now we look at the demonstration of Jesus' compassion. The compassion of Jesus, as we have seen in our text, is something that is available to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what storms of life you may be in. Jesus hears and answers all those who call out to him from the very depths of their heart. In their desperation, the disciples cried out to God for help. And what did he do? He helped them. They were in a time of distress, and Jesus never abandoned ship. He didn't go for a walk in the water, as we know he did on other occasions. No. It was for their benefit that God, through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, worked all things together for the good of all who were on the Lake of Galilee that night. You see, it wasn't just the disciples who benefited. There was other wee boats on that lake that night. What a lovely example of God's common grace to all mankind. What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Tonight, you might be like those in the separate wee boats, like those who followed Jesus at a distance. Well, tonight's your chance to jump ship. To rejoin, maybe, Jesus' crew. Can you see what Jesus was looking for in his followers in verse 40? This is what he said. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Faith is what God is looking for in those who would follow him. Faith in Jesus Christ is the key to unlocking the door of eternal life with God. Not only a life in eternity, but a life here and now. A brand new life. A clean slate. A new start. According to the Bible, you can be a new creation. There's many people here tonight who can testify to that truth in their own lives. And you can get right with God. Have a new life. The free offer is for you tonight. Verse 41 tells us that they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. To know that you're standing in the presence of God is a fearful thing. The disciples knew it. And maybe tonight you know something of how fearful a thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Especially if you're living in rebellion to him. Well, we know now who Jesus is. He's God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the God who has compassion enough to help all those who call out to him in faith. Not the help me Jesus prayers. The help! Help Lord! From the bottom of our hearts, prayers. These are the prayers that Jesus hears. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these wee boats on the Galilee, but they used to have a big mast in the middle upon which they would hang a cross member. The sails would hang from the cross member. Often wild seas, people would cling to the foot of the mast for dear life, for fear of being tossed overboard in the storms. of life. In closing tonight, Jesus calls on all people everywhere to repent, to turn away from this world and the ways of this world, and to cling for dear life to the cross, to the very person of Jesus Christ. The one sure place of refuge in the storms of this life is the cross. The cross where Jesus revealed his identity as God's only Son, sent to pay the debt for sinners who live in rebellion to God. The place where Jesus showed his power by laying down his life. He didn't just lay it down, he took it back up. What power is this that a man can take his life back on the third day? Who is this man? He is Almighty God, come in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. His purpose, to restore the broken relationship of Adam, so that sinners like you and I could have a relationship with a loving, living God. Jesus, in his loving compassion, stands in the very midst of our gathering tonight. He's holding his nail-pierced hands out to you. He says to you, come to me, all you who are weary, who are burdened. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, Jesus says. I'm gentle and I'm humble. You'll find rest for your souls, he says. That is the promise tonight. And if that's you, don't let anything, not fear, not the worries of this world, don't let anything come between you and Jesus Christ. Don't let anything stop you coming to him in faith this evening. We've seen Jesus' identity as Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. We've seen Jesus' power revealing him to be Almighty God. We've seen Jesus' compassion is freely available to those in the midst of life's troubles who call to him for help. And so in conclusion, later in this very gospel, Jesus himself asks the question, Who do you say I am? What's your question? What's your answer to his question tonight? Who do you say Jesus is? Do you see who he really is? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, he is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Can you say with Thomas, you are my Lord and my God? Let's pray together. Almighty God, with whom then will we compare you? To what image will we liken you? The creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who spoke all things into being and the God who commands all of the powers of nature. The God who commands all things. Everything is subject to you. Father God, we need you this evening. We desperately need you to come and to help us in the midst of our own troubled lives, in the storms we find ourselves facing daily. We need you. Help us. Give us more faith. God, we need more faith. Hear our prayers. Forgive our many, many sins. It's for your glory we're asking it, Father God. In the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. In concluding our service, will you join me in standing as we worship God in singing, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.